Yeah, taking care of business, you bet. That's what we do here, right? Excited to be here? It's freezing outside. Well, it was worse yesterday, but I always wondered. I've looked historically, and it snowed here about three times in the last 30 years, and I don't even remember. You guys remember there was snow on the ground? Yeah. Some people keep their memory, and some just lose it quickly. By the way, we are on Facebook Live for the first time today. One of my buddies, Kevin Ty, bugged me because the feed would kind of go in and out. Those of you that tried to watch it, Facebook Live is a little more powerful than our feed, so we're hoping that works well. This last week, Ben sends me pictures every Wednesday and Thursday of the youth department. And, you know, it's daylight savings, so we have some light. But I got a picture of them. Yeah, I do not know why. Some of them have their chairs turned backwards. Oh, they got a circle going. But what you doing, bud? Dude, I took karate when I was young. I got thrown. I could have turned around and just knocked you into the fourth row. That'd be a lot to knock into the fourth row. So thank you, Kenny, for fixing my collar. Just glad my zipper wasn't down. That it was way too much for church. If you're new with us, I'm sorry. But just a great group on Thursday night, and just watching these kids be together. And you know, every week, Ben shares about a 10 or 12 minute video that is just killer, that you would love to hear, that is all about who Jesus is and how to be close to him and how to deal with real issues in life, and just great stuff. So also we had an all-church, that got my heart beating. Wish I could come up behind you and grab your neck just for a minute. It just really got my heart beating. I didn't know if it was Jesus or an angel. I just wasn't sure, you know. Like, come on. So there was an all-church cleaning day, and there was like 20 folks, and whoever you are, thank you. The place looks great, and to get that deep cleaning stuff, I guess we could pay for it, but I appreciate all that you did yesterday. So with that, the theme today is Jesus makes us productive. If you want to be spiritually productive in any way, you're going to see today clearly that without Jesus and without being connected to him, you can't be productive. It won't happen. And those are his words, not mine. And it's a little bit scary from one standpoint, because if I don't have much spiritual productivity in my own life, in the changes that have taken place in me or in the lives of other people, you got to ask and deal with some hard questions. Am I connected? And am I connected properly and closely? And what does that look like? So hopefully we'll touch on some of that today. One gal said, I'm a very nervous flyer. Oftentimes you find them in the bar prior to taking off, I understand. But she said, I'm a very nervous flyer. During a trip to California, to Indiana, it didn't help that my connecting flight from Denver was delayed twice due to mechanical problems. That didn't help, she says. Then after we were aloft, I noticed the lights began flickering. I mentioned this to a flight attendant, and she says, I'll take care of it. Joe, I'm missing a light here, or I am really getting old and forgetting everything. But I'll take care of it, she said. And moments later, the lights went out. Clearly, she had solved the problem by turning off all the lights. She just turned them off. Thank you, Joe, as you turn the lights on for me. A passenger across the aisle who had been watching me leaned over to me and said, whatever you do, please don't ask about the engines. Don't ask. Just don't ask about the engines. Don't ask. You know, we're not that powerful, and we all know it when we get honest. We just aren't. We got what we got. But what is the best path for us to take to be as productive as possible in the areas that matter most? That's a question I want in your mind as we visit this passage and as we listen to Jesus and his words. What's the best path for me to take to be as productive as possible where it matters most? Because you know, you don't get to determine what another adult believes or how they live. You don't. We all get to make our own choices. That's called freedom. And everybody has it. When they're little, and when we're people who go to church, they just go to church every week. But as they get older, they get to make their own decision, as it should be. And the decision they make all the time is not one you're in favor of. Parents, if you have little ones, enjoy it while you can. While you can. Let's pray as we begin. Father, thank you, thank you, thank you that you are there for us, that you leave us with words of wisdom, that you really care about us, that you constantly are reeling us in. And that if we have ears to hear and a heart that's moldable, you will speak to it in this place. And I pray that happens today to many of us in this room, that we would soften our hearts in whatever way we can, that we'd open up our ears in any way we can, and that we'd want to hear from you. Jesus, as always, we want to welcome you into this room, into our lives, into our families. And I just pray you would capture us today, that you would invade that inside part of our life like only you can do. So Jesus, more than anything, we collectively want you to know that we love you, and we want to be people who follow you. And we just simply ask you to fuel us, to touch us. I pray that each of us in this room would feel your love today. We pray in Jesus' name, and everybody said, amen. Amen. Well, we're in a series entitled Unpacking Jesus, and we're looking through the seven I am statements in the book of John that are pretty famous and spoken about, written a lot about, and we're just kind of visiting them. And today we're on number seven of the I am statements, and it's about that Jesus makes us productive, fruitful, if you need another word, as you'll see. As he's going to say right off in John 15, verse 1, we'll get into it in a minute, but I am the true vine. I'm it. I'm it. And if you understand agriculture and vines at all, even on a beginning way, without the true vine, you don't do anything. You got no fruit, you got no green, you got no life. And that's what he's going to get at. But today is all about connection. If you ask, what's the real target, at least in my mind? And since I'm up here, I guess that matters. But some of what we're connected to, all of us, is not our choice. Who our family is, you don't get to choose. You come out just a messy little 7-ish pound to 10. Over 10, it's not right for mom. But you get to come out. You make no choice there. Mom and dad made a choice. God made a choice. But you didn't. How tall you are, you have no say-so in that matter. Well, I'll get that. That's just easy. Where you grow up as a youngster, country, place, you don't get any choice there when you're young. And as we mature in life, and everybody does, it's interesting, it just takes time. As we mature in life, we get to choose what and who we're connected to. And it's a big choice. We just life just comes at us, and we make our best decision we can along the way, but it's a big deal. It really is. What and who you're connected to. What's important to us? We get to make that choice. What we focus on, because all of us get to make that decision every day. What our talents will pursue. We got to live with our limitations and our strengths. Choices have to be made there. It's interesting watching young adults move through all that stuff. And fortunately, each and every one of them want all of the advice that we can possibly give them at that point. Well, what's so funny? What's so funny? You know, I've always told you over the years, nobody, nobody wants your advice unless they ask. That is one of the hardest things you'll ever live with, in reality, with your mouth and your brain. I have done my best to just hush it. You ain't getting nothing from me unless you ask. Now, the fact that you're sitting here today and you came, I bribed you with donuts, coffee, tea, fruit, whatever's out there. I even want colorful cream cheese sometimes so that those that it matters about strawberry, I'll get you in this room. You're willing to hear advice from Jesus and me today. But all day long, I don't tell you nothing unless you ask me. You start living by that motto, if you will, that creed, your life changes. Because not very many people come up and say, could you tell me what you think I should do. I could go off there. We could just make that the message today. What do you think? Thank you for the approval there. We get to choose what we invest in, not just financially, but our life. We get to make that choice. We get to choose who has major influence on us. As adults, you're only taking in kind of what you want, what you choose to. And today, Jesus is going to step up, and he's going to ask a lot of each of us. But it's for our own good. But he's going to ask a lot. He'll tell us clearly what the right spot that he should have in our life. So that's our target. That's where we're headed. Number one, there in your notes as we narrate this passage, John 15, a classic. We're told about Jesus and the Father. Jesus fills us in on what role he has and his Father has. And once we understand who's who and what our role is in the midst of this, we can move towards it. And that's all we want to be, is people who listen and do to the best of our ability. John 15, 1, Jesus starts off, he says, I am. I am. Jesus speaking of himself, of course, here. By the way, this is the last, as I mentioned earlier, of the seven I am statements in the book of John. He says, I am the true. And when he says true, what he's referring to is the real or the perfect or the genuine. I'm the true, as opposed to a counterfeit. I am the true vine. Now, this is significant more in the Jewish mind than it would be in ours. And the reason why is Israel was the conduit or the vine that God's promises flowed to the world. They were his chosen people and are today. They've denied what he provided. That's a whole other story. But they would understand this talk, the children of Israel, the Jews of the day, as Jesus lays this out. He says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener, or vine dresser, some versions tell us. A farmer, a gardener or vine dresser has two main jobs other than to get things rolling. And by the way, God did do that. God's the one to blame for what we have. He created it all. The first is he removed branches, as you'll see in a minute, that didn't bear fruit, which is pretty serious. And the second, he pruned the branches that did bear fruit. And as we'll see in the next few verses. So Jesus being the true vine, what it really means, if you want to get clear and simple, is this: he is, I am, Jesus says, the spiritual source of all life and all productivity. If you want to be productive, you have got to be connected to me. That is the message of the day. Matter of fact, that is so the message. If you want, we could just pray and go home right now. Right now. I could tell by your laughter that you know I'm not serious. That Jesus is going to bring God's plan of salvation for all of mankind. Past, present, and future. Us being the future. That's a bold statement. I am the true vine. Nobody ever has said that out loud or could without being completely laughed off. And Jesus actually did it. And those of us that know a little bit of our Bible have seen that played out. I am the true vine. It's enormous. Number two, next, Jesus tells us to remain in him. And for good reason. Whenever Jesus asks something of us, there's a reason behind it. And this one is pretty easy to understand. He talks about two kinds of branches, as we've already sort of mentioned. But John 15, 2, branch one is he, the gardener, vine dresser, God, he cuts off. And the idea of cut off is to remove or detach something. You guys all understand that. He cuts off every branch, each one. It's an individual thing. It's not a collective thing, it's individual. God deals with us as individuals. He cuts off every branch in me. Those thinking they're attached is what he's getting at here. False believers, we'd call them. People that think they're connected, but they really aren't. Believers on the outside, but not on the inside. He says he cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit. There's no fruit in their life. There's no change in their life. And why would he cut them off? Because these bad branches, these wrong branches, these disconnected branches, they hurt the vine. They're detrimental to its health. They're sucking nutrients away, and there's no productivity in their life or through their life to other people. You ever wonder why people come and they go? They wander into church for a week or a month or a season, and then they go? Now, if you go somewhere else, because my voice grows dull, I understand that. I mean, I don't expect it, hope that it happens in most of your lives, but I get it. I get it. But if you just leave any atmosphere like this, it means you don't any longer want to hear from God. You don't want to be corrected, not by the person, but the message. You're not willing to surrender to what God's word teaches. And you can do it online. You don't have to do it here. And I don't mean with us. I mean anywhere. You can find truth all over the place. Everyone's welcome. There's a number of wonderful churches in the South Bay. I was going to give you a list, but I decided not to today. But for many people, there are better options than being in a place where truth is laid out, where it can be understood. There's just... And they, that's branch one. That's not pretty. Branch two. While every branch that does bear fruit, followers, those connected to Jesus in a real way, they want it, they welcome it, they are productive. These branches that bear fruit, he, the gardener, prunes. And pruning is to remove anything that is detrimental. Anything that would get in the way of fruit production in their life and through their life towards other people. Pruning is not pleasant. My wife is the gardener in our family, not me. I purchase things and bring them, and you know, she sometimes has a gardener plant them, and she sometimes does. I planted 3 fruit trees right before there was a bunch of people at our house in the desert. I almost died that day. You think I'm kidding. My wife came out. I was just in my shorts. Nobody was there, fortunately. And it was getting cool in the afternoon, but I wanted to be outside. I wanted to dig in the dirt. And we bought 3 trees. Why we bought 3, I don't know, because 3 palm trees died. Little ones, queen palms. They're not, they died. So the gardener, why am I telling you this? The gardener dug half of the hole. He should have dug the whole hole. He didn't know what I was going to plant. I'm down in the ground digging. I'm sweating. I'm breathing hard. I'm barely getting past the first one. I'm thinking, I could die right here. If we just made this hole bigger, it would be perfect. You think I'm kidding. And I got 2 more trees. I will never buy 3 fruit trees again in my life. I'll buy 1 and I'll have help. I don't know where that came from. It was not in my notes. My wife's the gardener. She prunes. I watch her. She just tears. I don't ever want her pruning me. I mean, she goes after it. She knows how to take a plant apart and cut it back. And I pruning's not pleasant. But it's purposeful. Why does he do it? So that right here, it will be even more fruitful. It will produce more. More positive change happens in your life when God Almighty prunes you. It'll always happen through truth, as we'll point out in a minute. 2 kinds of branches. The first, the branch with no fruit, is cut off, taken away, and is viewed as without value. The second branch is one that bears fruit, is pruned or cleaned up, worked on, worked over, is prepared for future fruit. That's all Jesus is saying there in that text. Verse 3 goes on. He says, you, who's you? 11 disciples, and to us through them. You are already clean. You've been pruned. You've been forgiven. You've been changed. You've been made right before God. How'd that happen? You are already clean. He says, because, this is why, of the word I have spoken to you. Now, if you get anything today, get this. They had heard and embraced the gospel message because Jesus brought it, showed it, lived it in front of them. Truth does the pruning if we'll listen. Now, you can be pruned gently and consistently, or he can do it another way. Why are you laughing, Carla? Have you been pruned the other way?
Absolutely.
Yeah, me too. You see, hearing truth, what he's laying out, I believe, is how this takes place. This is why God's word is so important. It's the authority. It's not what I think. It's not my opinions. It's not the stories. It's not the humor. It's the word that I bring to you that's written in your notes. Or you could open up the scriptures and find it. Not only does it produce the change, it does. It's a tool for pruning. It offers the ability or capacity to change your life. And it's a wrestle. It's not easy for anybody. I don't care how much you love Jesus. It's a battle in life. Let me ask you as we move through this message. Has Jesus changed your life? I don't mean just brought salvation to you and made you confident that you're headed to heaven because of the promises. But has he changed who you are and who you're becoming? Have you been altered because of truth? You can look back 10 years, 5 years, maybe even a year ago and go, I am different today because of this. Has the gospel message and all that Jesus says changed your thinking about things? That's the hope. That's the plan. Staying connected is what produces fruit. Everything comes from somewhere. Everything does. And Jesus tells us where this fruit comes from. Look at verse 4. He says, look, here's what I want you to do. I want you to be connected to me. I want you to remain, abide in me. I want you to live your whole life connected to me. As I also remain in you. You choose me, you get me. You choose me, you get me. You choose me and you get me. You get me. No branch can bear fruit by itself. Cannot happen. An impossibility. This is spiritual fruit. This is stuff that really matters. This is a fact from Jesus, one you can count on. It must remain connected. It must remain in the vine. This is part of the law of nature. A branch, last time I taught this, I brought a branch that I cut off a fig tree that we never eat the figs for obvious reasons. But that was in the backyard. I brought it in here. It was stupid. I was going to do it again. I thought, no, that was stupid before. It'll probably be stupid today. But it's just getting limp. It was still green, but it was moving away from us. It's no good because it's no longer connected to the tree, the vine. It was a branch that had been cut off. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you, Jesus is teaching us here now, neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. He makes it clear that fruit will not come into your life or through your life if you're not remaining, abiding, connected to me. It's not hard to understand that. We all know it from nature. But does that motivate you? Does it inspire you to be connected to him? And boy, we need each other. How many people in your immediate surroundings or beyond say, hey, have you been thinking about Jesus at all? I'm privately over a cup of coffee and you do it hushed so you don't affect the table next to you, right? How many people say that to you? Anything about Jesus, not trying to teach you, not giving you advice, but just bring it up. And for most people, it's virtually nobody. How much pillow talk do you have with the man or the woman you love, or can you have? Has anybody ever said to you in the last 2 weeks, I just want to be closer to Jesus? Not preaching at you, not telling you what to do, but I want to. It's not in most people's verbiage, and I think it should be because of the importance that Jesus puts on it. I don't want to force you to talk of him. I want you to want to talk of him to people that are safe. Number 3, let's keep moving. By the way, we may not finish this message today, and I don't even care. I hope you don't. You can absolutely fire me at my age if you want. It's okay. Number 3, the importance of connection is real. It's what Jesus hammers home. He's the answer, and the sooner we realize it, the better off we are. The better our life gets, the more content we'll be, the more joy we'll have, the more peace we'll experience. Verse 5, Jesus goes on to explain how this relates to him. He says, I am the vine, and you are the branches. He's establishing nature now. We've already hinted towards it, defining that close connection and relationship with him. It's a vital relationship. The vine, again, is the source of strength. and nutrients for the branches, for us. It's the same with him. And if we look at it that way, if we listen to Jesus, this makes us want to be dependent because we already are on him in a spiritual sense. If you remain in me, notice the word remain over and over and over again. This is what he wants. And if Jesus wants something, you ought to give it to him. My wife knows she owns me. It's a little frightening because she's the tight one in our family. I'm not. And I say that with respect, and I'm glad. If we were both like me, I'd be in trouble. I'd never want to be married to Jim Makinga. I like being married to Sandy Makinga for a whole lot of reasons. And she'll tell you, if she knows you well, I got to watch out what I ask for because my husband will give it to me to the best of my ability. I was with Larry Johnson about 5:45 in the morning this week. And he said, when are you leaving? I said, I don't know, whenever she wants to. I don't run anything in the morning ever. I am not in charge of nothing. I just want to stay alive. You think I'm kidding? I don't know. If you're not a morning person, you understand exactly what I'm saying. And when I said something else, and he goes, maybe that's why you're so happily married. I go, maybe it is. It's kind of easy. She owns me. Can you say that Jesus owns you? Honestly. That if he makes a hint or he makes a weave here, that you're going with him? If you're going down the slopes, if you still can on a snowboard or skis, that you'll stay in his tracks? Who are you? Or do you want to make your own? Figure everything out on your own. I want to be right with him. He says, if you remain in me, the idea is these resources flow through, and I in you, and he will, Jesus says he'll never leave us, you will bear much fruit. This is one of those passages that we go, whoa, much fruit, a lot. Again, the issues of fruit are changed lives, that I'm different than I was. And for most of you that I know, I could tell you you're very different than you were on a lot of levels. People certainly impacted through your life. Character developed and sharpened as you've listened and wanted to follow Jesus. Habits changed. Love gets advanced in your life. You're willing to let the interests of others be more important than your own, and that's a hard lesson to learn. Selfishness begins to become less and less in your life, and it's more about others. And then he goes on again. He says, apart from me, you can do nothing. No spiritual impact, none, zero, in your life and through your life. No fruit. Apart from a vital connection with him. On the other hand, verse 6 says, if you do not remain in me. So you see, he constantly goes back and forth. Okay, so I want you to remain in me. But if you don't remain in me, if you go your own way, that would have been a good song today. Go your own way. If you make your own rules, if you determine them, if you do your own thing, you are like a branch that is thrown away and that withers. That's what you become over the course of time. You have no vitality, no nutrients from Jesus. You're on your own. You're functioning separately. No capacity to carry on when it's all up to you. And so many people do this. And hopefully they just do it for a season and then they come wandering, running back to him. That's what a message like this can do. Jesus can reach out and lasso you, my cowboy friends, and bring you right back. Right back. But he goes on, he says, and such branches, I don't like this stuff, but it's here and it's here for a reason to warn us. Such branches are picked up, they're collected, thrown into the fire, and burned. They're rubbish. They have no value to what really matters. Jesus is at the heart of the matter here. What really matters is that you and I are changed, altered, invaded by him, and then we go out with this capacity to love because of what Jesus has done to us, and we really honestly impact other people. We don't force our way in. We love our way in. Staying connected produces fruit. Disconnected removes the capacity for fruit. That's what Jesus is saying. There's a story about a pastor who was building a wooden trellis to support a climbing vine at the church. As he pounded away, he saw a little boy was watching him. The youngster didn't say a word, so the pastor kept on working, thinking the lad would just leave, but he didn't. Finally, the pastor asked, "Well, son, are you trying to pick up some pointers on gardening?" "No," he replied, "I'm just waiting to hear what a preacher says when he hits his thumb with a hammer." Shoot! I had to make sure I thought about it before I said that word. Number four, Jesus responds when connected. This is what happens. He hears us and uses us when we're connected to him. He challenges us here again in a different way to choose well. Verse 7, if you remain in me, you might want to circle the word remain in here and just take that home. Remain connected, remain connected, remain connected. If you do this, if you have this permanent union with me by your desire, your want to, that you honestly love me, you honestly want me, I'm welcome in your life. He says, and not only you remain in me, and my words remain in you. Close connection between Jesus and his words. You continue listening to me is the idea. You can't do it on your own, even if you get connected to me and go off and now I'm going to go do my own thing. That's not how it works. My words need to take root inside of you. The principles of Jesus need to take over your life because you let them and you want them and you welcome them. They make you different and better. He goes on to say, ask whatever you wish. You can approach me and I'll hear you no matter what. You're not closed off to me at all. And it will be done for you. Only those who abide and follow are heard and answered. That's what he's saying there. Remaining or staying connected simply means that I follow the principles of Jesus and I believe in him. If we decide to make up the principles of me, and all of us have done this, the principle of me, and me is your name for you. What's right to me? What's right in our culture? What's right to my friends? So we all want to have friends kind of like us. Maybe we're not full-blown people pleasers, but friends are important. And effectively leave Jesus out. We're disconnected. We're far away. Simply doing things on our own. He's trying to warn us. Number five, bearing fruit honors the Father. It honors the Father. The purpose of fruit is to honor God. The purpose of life is to glorify God. It's what we do. It's what Jesus did, constantly lifting up his Father. Verse 8, those who abide have the privilege of living lives that bring honor to God. This is what? The bearing of fruit, the connection, the remaining, this, all of this is to my Father's glory. Living this way brings honor to God through our lives in a real world that people are dying to get to know him. It's to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, not a little but much, showing yourself to be my disciples. All of this proves who we belong to, who we love, who we follow. Bearing fruit is a powerful part of our journey. Sometimes the Jesus message gets relegated to taking you and the people you love and your friends to heaven. And it doesn't get played out in day-to-day life. We have to go to work tomorrow morning. There may be a long ride on the 405 early. That can be awful. I am so glad I don't do that. Jesus is so much more than heaven. And he tries to tell us that you bear much fruit, showing yourself to be my disciples. Verse 9, as the Father has loved me, he's giving an example now. How much does a father love his son? Well, completely. We've talked about that before. So have I loved you. The same love that the Father has for his son, Jesus, is the love that he has for us. You can be confident in this love. You can bury yourself in this love. He says, now. Oh, there's the word remain again. Remain in my love. Stick with me, connect with me, abide in me, love all day long, love me, remain in it. Number six and last, I can't believe we got here. It's your fault. Staying in love with Jesus and people. That's what he wants. He sort of tells us how to do that here. Jesus tells us how to be branches, how to follow and love him. how to love others. He kind of lays it out. It's one of those great passages. You kind of just read it. Verse 10, if you keep my commands, do what I say, follow me, right? You'll remain in my love. There it is. Bam, from Jesus himself. His words, his principles show us if we're remaining in his love or not. This is not about legalism. This isn't about a list of rules. It's about who Jesus is, what he taught. Do you want to be connected to that? He says, want that. It's good for you. It's good for the world you live in. It's the right choice to be connected to me. And you get my love. Just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. So look, the example of relationship with us is the same relationship between God the Father and God the Son. It's incredible what he's talking about here for us. I came to do my Father's will. Will you please join me and do my will? And be connected to me and care about it deeply. Verse 11, I have told you this so that, why does he tell us this? So that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. Joy comes from being connected to Jesus. That's its source. He satisfies our deepest needs. Thus we're filled with joy, his joy. Imagine living through tough times with his joy driving your ship. Verse 12, my command, what I want your response to be, my command is this, love each other. This is my command. If you want to follow me, you got to love one another in real and lasting ways. Real love, when it happens, is felt and it's witnessed by other people. And just by the way, as selfishness is. Love is serving. Love is giving of yourself. Sacrificing for others. And he says, love others as I have loved you. I'll be your example. They have all, these 11 guys had witnessed this for 3 years with him and them and him and others over and over and over again. Love is the result of following Jesus. You want to be a great lover in life? Follow Jesus and watch who you become. If love is non-existent in your life or very limited, if that's the truth of you and you may say, well, it's my personality, it's where I grew up. No, I'm not buying that. If love is non-existent or limited in your life, you have a Jesus following problem. You don't have a love problem. I'm not sure what you're following, but it's not Jesus if you're not a loving person. You got to find your way. You got to make a shift. You got to come to a gore point and say, no, Jesus, I'm going to learn how to love. Maybe you were hurt when you were young. I'm so sorry if you were by somebody older that shouldn't have done what they did to you. I am so sorry. But you got to move out. You got to listen to Jesus. And you got to start following him and watch him mend the inside of your life. He goes on in verse 13, greater, the best or the most noble. Greater love has no one than this. This love slam dunks all other forms of love, that he lay down his life for his friends. Why? Because this person has given all that he has. You don't get two lives. You're not like a cat, if you know what I mean. This goes against self-preservation, and we saw that in the school deal a few weeks ago where a guy just waited, and he told other people to wait. That chokes me up even thinking about it. If I gave most of you guys a shovel, you would have gone after the shooter. Or thrown your shoe at him, anything. And maybe you think I'm just being a tough guy. Nope. Nope. Some of you let your kids... Oh, there's something in my throat. Excuse me. Wonderful. Facebook Live, welcome to Bay Cities. It upsets us to think that somebody that was prepared didn't go and try. And no heroes here, but there's certain things that are worth dying for. And when I have the privilege of taking your children to Guatemala, I'm that guy, along with other people. But it's the only reason I've been working out. No, just have to get to laughter there. Verse 14, let's go on. You, Put your name here, please. Write it if you're taking notes. You are my friends. You belong to me. You know what I had? I had one of those. Oh, you don't care. I'm just trying to tell you what's in my throat. You could care less. The idea is here is you're friends with Jesus. You are my friends. If, big if, might want to circle that, you do follow, obey, listen to me, what I command. The things that you can learn and understand that we talk about every week and choose to do. One of the many reasons why the Bible is so important. Verse 15, I no longer call you servants. The word says a lot, the word servant. And I guess I should have just followed Jesus. And one of those beautiful, tasty nuts on the inside is right here. Would you please pray that it leaves me? If you do what I command, I no longer call you servants. Because a servant does not know. They're not aware. Servants oftentimes don't even know the names of people. I make it my habit in life. When somebody comes to serve me, a waiter, a busboy, I'm finding out their name, and I'm going to use it 3 or 4 times. And they're always shocked, because people don't do that often. Because a servant does not know his master's business. He just doesn't. He's in a different rung of the ladder. We all kind of get that. They wouldn't be aware of plans and goals and be connected to. You can't be connected. A servant can't be connected to the CEO. It just doesn't happen. Instead, I have called you friends. No, a cough drop won't do it. Thank you. Has this ever been a nightmare in your life? I read an illustration yesterday about a dad whose daughter was going to go do a play up front. I couldn't find a place to put it, so I just got one. And he sat down with his daughter, and she was really afraid to go up front. Thank you. A bagel. That would fill my throat even more, but you may be right there. I don't eat bagels here. No cream cheese, huh, Deb? Thank you. You're right. Thank you. That was a little sarcastic for Jim, wasn't it? So he looked her in the eye, he took her and he sat her down, and he said, honey, I want you to know something about speaking in front of people. Everybody in the room, I've never heard this before. He said, everybody in the room wants you to do good. Everybody's pulling for you. So when you go up there and you're nervous, look at everybody and know that they want you to do good. I'll never forget it. It just didn't fit until today. So you did not choose me, he goes on to say. Oh, everything, where are we? Instead, I have called you friends. This is so significant. I mean, let this change your life. Jesus is calling you and me his friend. How many friends do you have? I always ask somebody when I get time with them, who's your best friend? Who is it? Because it really matters. I always do. Everybody I meet. Because you love that friend. I may not become your best friend. I don't have time. I had way too many children. It's a problem. In the Old Testament, only Abraham was called a friend of God. And there was a lot of good guys. David was the apple of his eye. Okay, that's pretty cool. And David really messed up, and I like that. Because I know how much I mess up. No Bathsheba's in my life, okay? But I mess up. Deb, thank you. You are my hero today. Along, of course, with Tom's hero. Because I know he'd do anything for you. But let's go on. He says, everything that I learned from my father, he goes on, I have made known to you. Jesus is the access of truth for us. He's the conduit. As he is unpacked in our life, not by a teacher, but by the Holy Spirit, and because you want him, something dynamic happens between you and him, and he becomes more of a thing for you. He's not just a ticket to heaven. Verse 16, you did not choose me. Now, this is going all against custom back then, because in Jewish times, even today, the Jewish custom was that disciples would approach a rabbi and ask if they could follow them, especially a young man that wanted to go into the ministry, so to speak, and request to be a disciple. Jesus tells these 11 guys, you didn't choose me. Look at what happened with all the religious leaders. He said, but I chose you. He picked them, average fellas. No big-time jobs, it doesn't appear. All they had to do was drop their nets and go. Ben Myers would add a problem there, dropping the nets, because he loves to fish. He goes, and appointed you. Jesus has a purpose for every one of us in this room. He really does. And it's to serve and love others. He says, first, you need to go. I appointed you to go and bear fruit. This is what you are to live for. And you can't bear fruit if you don't follow, connect, and love me. That's what he said in this passage. Make a spiritual impact in your life and through your life towards others. And fruit, not only that is momentary, but fruit that will last. There was a gal named Dawn Wilderin, I think her name is, and I met her back in the late 80s, early 90s here. I married her once to a guy that was in Pepperdine, and that did not work out. He was not a good guy, sadly. But she got married 5 years later, and Sandy and I had the privilege of knowing her well at the time. She was here. She moved up to Ventura or somewhere far away. But we had a season with her, and her life was changed by Jesus. And the other day, Sandy put a Facebook post up about me. It was either my birthday in January. I don't know when it was, because that was 3 months ago, and I can't remember anything from back then. But she said in there, in the comments, this is the man that changed my life 25 years ago. I wanted to frame it, and Sandy said, no, we're not framing it. Fruit that'll last. I don't even know her today. If she walked by, I'd know her. But, you know, when you live an hour away, it's like you live in another country. All right, let's go on. Then the Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. Same idea as earlier. Verse 17, this is my command. This is, you want to know what his command is for you? He says, love one another. This is the highest form of good you can do once you connect to him. All day, every day, you love everybody you come in contact with. This is Jesus giving us a definition of what a friend is. He's a friend to us. What a friend we have, obviously. And friends are willing to sacrifice, to listen to him, to follow him, to do what he says. We're picked, chosen by him. That's what he's telling the fellas, to live a life with purpose. And the purpose is fruit in our life and through our life, to love others often and regularly. Make that your life story. Well, what does he teach us? Bringing this to a close. Oh, yes. Thank you. A bagel a day keeps the doctor away. Being connected to me is success. And I would put spiritual success. It just didn't fit in the line, but that's okay. This is what Jesus is telling us in short form. You remain in me, you'll bear much fruit. That's what he said. You'll have spiritual success. Your personal life will be better, I believe. I've seen it. I've watched it. You'll grow in your ability to trust me. Do you want to have a marriage that lasts? It's more about Jesus than you. I know people in this room, and I'm not going to call them out by name because I get in big trouble, that would be blown apart without Jesus. I've heard them say so to me. You want a long marriage? You fall in love with Jesus. Well, what if my wife or husband doesn't? That's their problem. And yours, but you do the right thing. Right? That wasn't much of a pastoral answer, was it? That was, yeah. Bottom line is, you'll end up with a better life when you follow Jesus. Then you'll end up in heaven, which is... In a seminary missions class, Herbert Jackson told how, as a new missionary, he was assigned a car that would not start with a push. Would not start without a push. After pondering the problem, he devised a plan. He went to the school near his home, got permission to take some children out of class, and had them push his car off. as he made his rounds, he would either, and start up, as he made his rounds, he'd either park on a hill or leave the engine running. He used this ingenious procedure for 2 years. 2 years. Ill health forced Jackson's family to leave, and a new missionary came to the station. When Jackson proudly began to explain the arrangement for getting the car started, the new man and how, what he had to do, the new man began looking under the hood. And before the explanation was complete, the new missionary interrupted. "Why, Mr. Jackson, Dr. Jackson, I believe the only trouble is this loose cable." He gave the cable a twist, stepped into the car, pushed the switch, and to Jackson's astonishment, the engine roared to life. For 2 years. 2 years. Needless trouble had become routine. The power was there all the time. Only a loose connection kept Jackson from putting that power to work. It's the same for you with Jesus. Is your connection to him loose, or is it firm and tight? That's up to you, not anybody else. And I say make it tight. Number two, bearing fruit brings confidence. It's one of the great quiet benefits of it. Fruit is a necessary sign to feel secure. If you have no fruit in your own life or through your life, it's a problem for you, especially these kind of messages. Fruit not only changes us, but it communicates some things to us. That Jesus is making a difference in my life. That Jesus is using me. That Jesus is worth trusting to me. It builds my confidence in him. Confidence in Jesus is powerful. He does say you'll know them by their fruits. What's your confidence level in Jesus on a 1 to 10? You follow him. You trust him and watch what happens. Number three, friends of Jesus follow him and love others. It's what they do. It's what he's asking. John 15, 14 says, "You are my friends if you do what I command." It's all about desire. What do you want? What do you want? What's the longing of your heart? What part of your heart longs to follow and do what Jesus wants? Build that part of your heart. This is where love is shown. When you love Jesus, you want to do what he says, even though you're going to fail. You come back to him. "Oh, Lord, I can't believe I said that. I can't believe I did that." Life is not just about discipline. So many people want to live in the disciplines of the faith, and I'm not against that. But if that's the heart of your relationship with Jesus, what are you thinking? What are you thinking? So you're a knowledge-based follower? Really? I want the emotion between me and my wife to stay true. We can't wait to be older. We're not afraid of it. Those years between 70 and 80, we're going to ditch away. We're going to somehow leave and be all alone for a long time. Not our family, because some of them are in the room. We love them. We will always return, pretty sure. We're not moving to Florida, all right? That the lakes thing, you know? If discipline is what it is, good works would get you what you need. Jesus asked Peter, "Do you love me? Peter, do you love me? Do you love me? Do you love me?" He wants to be loved. He wants to be loved. Never forget, Jesus calls you friends. In John 15, 15, please lock this in today. "I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's, but instead I have called you friends, for everything that I learned from my Father I've made known to you." Go and live as a friend of Jesus all day, every day, connected to him. We'll close with this. Spurgeon used to tell a story about two men in a boat, two guys. They were caught in a very, very severe rapids, and they were going to a place where there was a waterfall and even worse rapids, and there was really no way to survive it. If they ever hit those rapids, they would not live. They began to struggle for their lives, and as they were carried swiftly down the stream, they were carried towards the perilous rocks and the falls, and some men on the shore saw them and tried to save the two men, and they threw out a rope. By this time, the men had fallen out of the little boat, were struggling in the current. One man caught the rope, and he was saved. "At the same instant," said Spurgeon, "the other man, who could have seized the rope, but in his panic, the panic of the moment, he grabbed onto a log that was floating by, and that was a fatal mistake. One man was drawn to the shore because he had a connection with the people on the shore. The other, clinging to a log, was carried down through the rapids and never found again. Now you see, Mr. Spurgeon says, what faith does is faith gives you a connection with the shore. Faith gives you a connection to Jesus. Grabbing a hold of anything else is grabbing a log. It doesn't go anywhere but along with you to your doom. Let Jesus be your guy. Let's pray. Lord, thank you. Thank you for bagels. Thank you that you love us. Thank you that we can count on you no matter what. And I just pray that each of us would grab hold of you tight in every way that we humanly can, and that we would want to be fully connected to you all the time. Make it so in our life, we pray in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Have a great day.